Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The literal understanding of standing fast is to be stationary. Whatever someone may try to pull or push you, you refuse to be moved. That is called standing fast. When you are standing fast out of pride and arrogance, it has a very negative connotation. They will call you pig-headed. They will call you stiff-necked, stubborn. Right? That's standing fast. And we all know what that means, because we all had behaved in that manner before. You refuse to budge in your position, which you think that if you were to budge, it will be wrong. It will be losing face. Since I said it, I must do it. And therefore, this standing fast is not something that we are unfamiliar with, the action itself. But standing fast in the Lord changes the entire meaning of the phrase standing fast. Because the domain in which we stand fast now has been revealed to us. And it has to be in the Lord, which means it must be with the Lord, together with the Lord, and according to what the Lord has taught us in Scripture. So this standing fast is a continuous action of every believer's life, from the moment he is born again to the day when the Lord returns in glory. He must stand fast in the Lord in all aspects of his life. No aspect of his life must be compromised. The moment one aspect is compromised, he is no longer standing in the Lord, in God's eyes and in the eyes of God's children, including sinners. I cannot say I'm standing fast at home as a husband to my wife, as a father to my children. I'm standing fast also in church, serving in the Lord, faithful. Every task assigned to me, I get them done on time. But in the office or in school for the children, I make fun and I tease my classmate. I am very talkative in class. But I'm a very good boy and a good girl at home. Are you standing fast in the Lord? As far as God is concerned, all areas we must stand fast in the Lord according to Scripture. And if you drink at your workplace, in your social life, because your bosses pressure you, your words are vulgar, you smoke, now you have this vaping, which is illegal, and it is a criminal act. And then you also gamble once in a while, you may reason, during Chinese New Year. You don't play with money. God says, you are not standing fast. So it has to cover every aspect of our lives, and it has to be willing. And that's why you find in verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul did not pressure them, even though he used the word imperative. The tone of stand fast is a command, but he used it after he called them my joy and my crown, my dearly beloved. So it always accompanies with a tenderness, because you must not stand fast grudgingly. If you stand fast grudgingly, God says, how are they going to see Christ in you when you obey me not because you want to, but because you are afraid? You are reluctant. You are unwilling. If you are given a choice, you probably won't want to do it. Like many children who are brought to church because of mom and dad. If you have a choice, will you still be in church every Lord's Day, worshipping the Lord willingly, happily, to attend all the fellowship groups, prayer meeting, and the Bible studies that the church has, willingly, freely? No bribery, no threat, nothing. You just want to go because you love the Lord. They are the Apostle Paul's dearly beloved. They are his joy. They are his crown. They are the most important people in his life in ministry, because Paul came to the city of Philippi during the start of his second missionary journey, and many of them came to know Christ through the gospel that he brought to that city by the call of God. He did not know them before that encounter, but after they received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they became family. They became his spiritual children. And that's why he wanted them to do well for the Lord and in the Lord. That's why he concluded this prison epistle in chapter 4 with standing fast in the Lord. The enemies out there, they are watching. They want you to stumble and fall. They want you to fail the Lord. Please don't. Will you stand fast in the Lord, whatever it takes? Because the ones who can push us and move us are not the people out there. The ones that can push us and move us away from standing fast in the Lord are found in the church. You know that, right? They are not out there, strangers in the world. It's in the church. Because the people that you have the strongest feeling for are the people that can move you the greatest. They have the greatest power over your life. They have the greatest strength to pull you and to push you away from your standing fast in the Lord, so that you will stand outside of the Lord's word and the Lord's will. Which means you sin. And so, children, you know you are the best candidate that can cause mom and dad to stumble and fall into sin. Parents, likewise. People who are close friends, you know, you have the greatest potential to push and pull someone else who desires to stand fast in the Lord because of his affection and his feeling for you, his love for you. Please note this. So when children grow up, they deliberately want to court an unbeliever. And then they want to lie to the parents, and the parents warn them. Say, no, we are just simply platonic friends. There's no feelings, no affection. You lie. 2 years down the road, you are getting engaged. You come to mom and dad and say, we are getting married. But the person is still an unbeliever. Now you force your mom and dad to make a very, very difficult and painful, heart-wrenching choice. They will now be tested. Do they love the Lord Jesus Christ more by obeying him and not participate at all in your wedding? Or will they choose you and disobey the Lord and attend your wedding? And so, because of you, because of your disobedience, and because they are feeling and their affection for you, I dare not even use the word love. Because if it's agape love, they will make the right choice. But because they choose to attend your wedding, give you away, knowing that it displeases the Lord, you have just pushed and pulled your mom and dad away from standing fast in the Lord, which they had been doing all these many years, until you came along and committed this serious transgression. Isn't that true? Isn't that the case with all of us? When it comes to standing fast in the Lord, you have to know who in your life can push and pull you away from standing fast in the Lord the greatest, so that you can take every precaution when the decision comes in front of that person whom you have the greatest affection for on earth. If they are all in Christ, in the Lord, no issue. But when they are not in the Lord, and that becomes an issue. And so, do you want to stand fast in the Lord or not? If you say, I don't want to, well, probably you're not a believer. Because a truly born-again believer with the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, he can't help himself but want to stand fast in the Lord. And if he disobeys, he will sincerely, truly repent. That parent who decided to disobey the Lord and attend your wedding Once he wakes up, once he realizes his transgression, he will repent of the Lord and will tell you what mom and dad did was wrong. What you are doing is wrong. You have to repent for your disobedience by marrying an unbeliever. Because that's the only way. Every time when they look at that wedding photo or that video clip, they will remember your confession. What mom and dad did were wrong. If you do not apologize and repent, check your salvation. Furthermore, if there is no chastisement that comes, that must result in a repentance, then again you should check. Check the leadership of the church. If they do not do anything to discipline you, especially if you are a person who is serving in the church, then that church is failing the Lord and also have transgressed because they failed to discipline the parents and because of you. So now so many people will have to decide whether they're going to be pushed and pulled from standing fast in the Lord or not because of one person. That's why it's within the church. The people that can cause you to stumble and move are not out there. Oh, they are there when you go out to the world. But you and I know the heartbeat of the church is far more significant and important for our spiritual well-being. Because good churches, sound biblical churches like Truth, BBC, they are dying. They're falling one by one by the wayside. Many of those that you think are healthy and heading in the right direction are now very sickly and heading in the wrong direction. And time will tell if we are not careful to stand fast in the Lord. So the first thing we realize concerning stand fast in the Lord based upon this passage, verses 2 and 3, stand fast in oneness. Would you? Stand fast in oneness, because Paul is not referring to some strangers out there, but he is referring to two ladies called Euodias and Syntyche, and he described them as true yoke fellow. Help these women who labor with me in the gospel. So they were not strangers. They were ladies that he knew, but apparently these two ladies could not get along. For whatever reason, the Apostle Paul did not reveal, because it's not necessary. It's not doctrinal. It's not moral. It's just some form of disagreement that could have been easily resolved if one party were to just simply make the first move and apologize. Isn't that how we stand fast in the Lord? In oneness? Swallow our pride? Isn't that what the Bible tells us, that every born-again believer has been blessed with the mind of Christ, which is one of humility, because Christ came down from heaven. How high do you have to come down to apologize? Definitely not as high as heaven. And if Christ gave you his mind, which is a mind that resulted in him coming down from heaven to this sin-filled world, as a servant, not as a king. He could be as a king when he first came, but as a servant, and the word servant there was slave. And he remained a servant all his life unto death. It's not he became as a servant, and then during his 33 years, he became a king. Servant all his life. Philippians 2 make that abundantly clear. Unto death. As a lamb led to the slaughter, a slave, he did not demand any rights of his own. It's my right as a son of God not to suffer such humiliation and pain and death. He could have, and he would be right on his part, but he did not. So what arguments do you have not to take the first step and apologize? Because you are the deacon, you are the elder, you are the pastor. You are the father, you are the mother. You cannot apologize to your child whom you have hurt because of your impatience and your anger, frustration. But it's my culture. Yeah, your culture must always be subservient to Christ, should it not? As a Christian, you no longer bear your own name, your own image. You now bear the image of the Son of God the moment you call yourself a Christian. That's why stand fast in oneness. I beseech, I beg Euodias, I also beg Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord, right? Oneness. What's the disagreement? Is it because of some
work issue?
You want to do it this way, the other person want to do it that way? Can you all not just simply agree and then see which way is the better way and then just go in that direction? Doesn't matter. It is not your idea. Should it matter? As long as it is better for the flock, for your ministry, for the people under your care. Doesn't matter if it comes from this person that you don't like. What do you not like about that person? He's a child of God just as you. All these personal issues have destroyed so many, many relationships. But the oneness in the Lord should always be dominant in all our relationships. But sometimes we fail and we do not realize how we have failed the Lord and hurt God's testimony and God's people because of our pride. And if they do not, will someone else help and step in and be the mediator? And I entreat thee also through your fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul was very certain that they were born again. All of them. And if you are all born again, and he said that they are all written in the book of life, whose names are in the book of life, why do you squabble and quarrel? Stop now, please. It has been long enough. Whatever differences that each one of us, any one of you might have, go up to the person and do whatever it takes. Swallow your pride. But what? There's no but, you know. Literally, there's no but. But I'm right. Yeah, you think you are right. So does the other person. Isn't that usually the foolishness? Why people cannot get along? Isn't that also true between husbands and wives? Between brothers and sisters? Between two sisters or two brothers in the home? I'm right. Yeah, you are right. Everybody is right. And so, nobody is wrong. If nobody is wrong, why are you not on good terms? Right? If both of you are right, then why are you not friends? Why can't you talk to each other nicely? Both of you are right. When the reality is, both of you are wrong. Maybe one party is more wrong, the other one party is less wrong, because that party started it. But did you respond with a soft answer, or did you also use some harsh words? That person called me names, you know, preacher. Did you call names back? Or did you just simply use a soft answer as the Lord taught you to stand fast in the Lord in oneness? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Why didn't you just answer gently and kindly and just simply say, I am sorry? Is that hard? I am sorry. That's all it takes. I'm truly sorry. Why is it so hard? Because we have not died to self, have we? As the Lord Himself has taught us. The condition before we say we are Christian, before we follow Him, right? Walk in His footsteps. Jesus says, you want to walk in my footsteps? You know what my footsteps are like? They are all steps of humility. Do you want to walk or not? It will require you to turn the other cheek when someone slaps you. It requires you to go the second mile when someone demands that you go the first mile according to the Roman law. It requires you to sincerely pray for those who despitefully use you, abuse your love and care, and take advantage of you. And what do you do in response? You continue to be kind and continue to pray. And whenever they ask for more help, you continue to help. But they sabotage me. You pray for them and you continue to help them. That's the footsteps that Jesus Christ walked on for our sake. Now you want to call yourself a Christian, which means you want to walk and imitate Him, and where He walked, you follow. Then Jesus says, what? Deny yourself. Because if you don't deny yourself, you will not walk exactly where He walks. You want to walk as long as it fits your idea of where He should walk. The moment He walks in a direction that you don't agree with, you're going to go another way. But you still call yourself a Christian, and that's why Jesus says, you don't follow me. If you want to hold on to yourself, righteousness and self-decision making, don't follow. Because once you say you follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have no more right, no more ambition. Surrender all to me. And then I will design a wooden cross for you to carry, and I will help you. Then you follow me. Relationship with people. Not any people. Fellow believers. Are we not? That's why the people in our lives who can push me from standing fast in the Lord are found here. At home. And in the church. Not just in the church, but also in the same ministry. In the church, right? Because you come into contact with each other the most number of times. And the more you come into contact with each other, the more chances of you hurting one another. You have all your meetings, you have all your discussions, you have all your ideas, you have all your notions, and you have also your temper and your pride. So does everyone else. And therefore, when you meet, you throw ideas, that person throw ideas, and then when you do something that the person finds not so nice because you did not do your part, he did his part, and so the next meeting when people ask for feedback, you gave your feedback. Why is it that you in charge of publicity, why did you forget, why did you let the office know so late? Why didn't you let them know weeks earlier so that we can put it in the weekly so that more people may know about the meeting? But because you procrastinated and you submitted it so late, now we only have the announcement on one Sunday, and look at the turnout, so few people came. So, the poor attendance due to the poor publicity, which means the member in charge of publicity failed. So now you give feedback in your own mind. But your tone, your demeanor, the choice of words, were they kind? Were they gentle? Were they really feedback? And so the person who received it felt humiliated, upset, angry, so hurtful, so saddened by it, lost for words. Because if he doesn't control himself, he will scream and yell back at that person, "You think you're so great?" It will be worse. And then the person just resigned. 2 days later, tender in the letter to the chairman. Then the next meeting, how come the person didn't turn up? Oh, he resigned. And you know it's because of. So what do? Let's find another one. You do that. The person still comes to church. The person is not angry and upset with you. You know it. You think you can worship the Lord? Or should you set aside your worship and then reconcile and go to him, knowing that that person cannot worship because he's angry with you? Isn't that what Jesus says? Stand fast in the Lord, right? Sermon on the Mount, remember? Would you not stand fast in oneness? Do whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, I will make sure that I'm not the guilty party if anyone is upset with me. If I know, I will go and apologize. I will make the first move, no matter what. And if the person doesn't want to forgive me, Lord, I can't do anything in that. But I will apologize. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do it. Because I do not want that brother, that sister of mine to leave the church because of me. I do not want that brother or the sister to not be able to pray and to worship you because of me. Because every time he worships, he prays, he is troubled because he has been hurt by me. And I don't want that. Please, help me. Give me the humility and swallow my pride to go to that person and help me, grant me the time, the opportunity, and the preparedness of heart and his heart as well, as I go and apologize. Please, help me for Jesus' sake. Would you stand fast in oneness, where oneness is so important to you in the church, in the family, that you are prepared to do whatever it takes to protect it. Don't let it be pushed or pulled away from your life, your home, and your church. Would you? It's up to you. You and I know that all you need is two persons to be at odds, like in this case. You are Dias and Sindaki, and more people are involved. Because the two persons will have their own family, their clique, their friends. Both sides will have. And you know, when you are upset, you want company, you share. And it will spread. And it will continue to spread. And if it is not stopped, it will be schismatic like 1 Corinthians. Right now it's not yet, it's still the two persons. By the time you come to what happened in the church in Corinth, remember? I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter. Remember? I am of Christ. Schism. That problem was already huge. It grew out of control. You want that to happen in this church? You can be as doctrinal as you want. You can preach as sound a doctrine as you want. But you and I know that the devil can destroy the church in many ways. And disunity is one of them. Which means when you and I regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. You know that is a blanket rejection of our prayer, our worship, anything we do for the Lord says it will not go higher than the ceiling of your room. You want it to go all the way up to my throne of grace and mercies for me to answer you accordingly? You get rid of sin in your heart and your life. If you do not, that's how far your prayer would go. You want it to go all the way to the most holy place? Stand fast in your oneness. Protect it. Repent. Would you? Verse 4 and verse 5. Stand fast in the inner man. Because that's where it all begins, isn't it? Stand fast in the inner man. It's all up to the individual. The outward man is the manifestation of what is in the inner man. When a person is rejoicing in the heart with his Lord, he knows that this joy is evaporated as long as he holds on to any transgression. The peace, the tranquility, they are all part and parcel of the ingredients that make up joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. The inner man, the joy that you have with God in Christ when you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, for the first time you experience the joy of having all your transgressions lifted from your entire being. It's special, it's indescribable. And then that joy will continue to grow deeper and deeper when you study the Word of God. The more you know God, the more you know your Savior, the more you know the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, the more you understand the blessings of Christian fellowship, the deeper your joy, not in terms of just death, but also in terms of expanse. Right? The joy that you can have with one another. You can never find out there in the world, because when you want to talk about Christ out there in the world, you've got to be very, very cautious. But when you are with your brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, you can talk freely about the Lord Jesus Christ without any inhibition. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what you love to talk about freely and happily, the most important person in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they not found in your home, the happiest place on earth, and your church, and the ministries that you serve in? When there were leaders in the church who were for the Bible with mistake, I dreaded attending session meeting and board of elders meeting. It was likened to putting on my boxing gloves. Hated it. It's a warfare. You go there, you be prepared to get punched and to punch back. Of course, using words, verbal boxing. It was awful. beg the Lord day in, day out, Lord, please, Lord, forgive, forgive, forgive. Please give us a peaceful, united leadership. And of course, it affected the church very badly during that period of time. And thank God, just by one election, all these bad leaders were removed by one simple election. And then peace returned. It was so wonderful. The joy of coming together and pray together and share and then discuss openly without any hidden agenda of hurting one another. It's so wonderful. So thankful to the Lord for the good leadership now. Oneness. Stand fast in oneness, and the joy will come. These 3 points are not unrelated. You stand fast in oneness, the joy will come. Why do you think Paul talked about the rejoicing? After he told the two ladies, please reconcile. Others who can help, help them reconcile. They're all going to heaven together. We're going to be together. Written in the book of life are all their names. Will we not all be together? Then let us be together today, so that we can continue to rejoice and be together tomorrow, forever. Rejoicing. Would you? Are you happy in the Lord? Is your relationship with God healthy and good? Because if your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is one of great burden and no joy at all, how are you going to stand fast in oneness and experience joy externally when you don't even have joy internally? You don't know what it means to be a good brother or sister in Christ to somebody else. Because you don't even know how to be a joyful child of God with your Savior, with your Heavenly Father. That's why the inner man, stand fast in Christ. Most important. That's why I'm very, very fearful of people coming to church for fellowship. You don't come to church for fellowship with one another as your priority. Because when they do that, they come for the wrong reason. Churches are not found by Christ for such an eventuality. Oh, they are the byproduct when it happens. But the primary purpose of God founding the church is all about Christ, not about you and me. It's about Christ. You come to church because this church teaches the Bible, where the leaders also obey what they teach and preach. And this is a church where you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you learn to stand fast alone with your Savior. Then you can stand fast alone with everybody else. Because when I know that this is a church where God calls me and wants me to serve, and I will do whatever it takes to protect its faithfulness, its conservative stance and position in all the doctrines, and then if I hurt someone, I'm not going to leave. I will reconcile with you. When people do not see that about themselves in relation to Christ and the church, the slightest little mishap between person A and person B, bye-bye, both probably will go. They come to church for the wrong reason, and they go to where? Whichever church you go to, it's only a matter of time that you're going to leave again. Because everywhere you go, you're going to encounter the same sad and tragic experience. Because you go there for fellowship. You like to talk to people, you like to meet people, and you're going to hurt people. People are going to hurt you. You know that. But then to live like a recluse and stay away from everyone is not helpful either. Your life is meant to impact others for Christ. And that's why stand fast in the inner man is the prerequisite for the outer man to stand fast with others in oneness. Because if this is the church that is still sound and biblical and teaches the word of God correctly and the leaders are godly men, I'm not going to leave. This is where I'm going to call home, and this is where I want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means if I come to this church, I'm going to serve and I'm going to fellowship with you. I know I'm going to hurt you. It's only a matter of when. I'm prepared to apologize. I'll do whatever it takes. Because I know I'm not perfect. There will be sometimes I'm going to make an appointment and I'm going to be late. There will be certain things that I say I'm going to do, but I'm not going to be able to do it. And I'm not going to do it on time or do it well enough for you. I'll apologize. Just let me know. Don't talk behind my back and tell others I do not know, I can't apologize. But let me know, I will apologize. Whether I'm a pastor or not, reverend, a doctor or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just a sinner saved by grace just like you are. All these so-called titles are description of my duties and responsibilities before the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't make me better than you or you better than me. We are here to wash each other's feet, are we not? Please don't forget that. The title reverend and doctor and pastor, all these are description of my duty that God has called me to do. That's it. I'm no better than you. On the day of judgment, I'm also queuing up together with you. You know that, right? I'm not going to sit next to Christ and wait for you to come, and then Jesus and me, we're going to discuss, hey, that person from truth, you know, you think what? I'm going to sit next to Christ and both of us are going to judge you. No. I'll be queuing up just like you, just like every other child of God. And my portfolio is, he's going to judge me based upon how I'm going to be, how I have been a pastor, how I've been a teacher and preacher of God's word, how I'm a lecturer in FEBC, how I'm a father at home, how I'm a husband to my wife. All these will be evaluated. That's the description of my portfolio. That's it. And so if I think that I'm better than you, I'm a CEO, I'm not a CEO, I'm just a pastor where my duty and responsibility before God is described. That's it. It's not a promotion. It's a description. Don't ever think that because I'm now a deacon and an elder, I'm promoted. That's the concept of the world out there. You come in as a junior under probation, and then slowly you become an assistant manager, then a manager, and then I don't know whatever else that is out there, and then finally the CEO, chief executive officer, all these big titles. Yeah, they are titles, they are promotion. That's the world. Don't bring them into the church. Sadly, some people do. And so they worm themselves into the position of deacon and elder, and then when people see them in church, they don't greet them properly, they get angry and upset. How come when they see me, elder, they never greet me? Why didn't you greet them first, elder? What, you think you're a big shot? They only describe your responsibilities, not a promotion, a description. So if I've hurt you, I will apologize. Sometimes I might not even remember. I will just apologize. I'm so sorry. That's it. That's all I can do. I can't turn back the clock. If I can turn back the clock, I will undo what I have done. But I can't. The best I can do is apologize, and I will apologize to you. If I answer your question too harshly, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, but I'm so sorry. What more can I do? I want to experience joy in my heart with my Savior. And I know that if someone out there is upset with me and it's my fault and I do not apologize, how can I have joy in my heart? I know I can't. You know you can't too, right? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means do not do anything excessively. Everything that you do that is according to Scripture, that is permitted to do, do it very judiciously and do it very carefully. Think of the other person, how it should be done, and how it should be done carefully and gingerly. Do not do anything in any manner that may cause anyone to be hurt or stumble. That's what it means by moderation. Because the Lord is at hand. That means we are all going to answer to the Lord one day for how we have spent our time on earth that He has entrusted to us from the day we are born again until the Lord returns. I choose to use the phrase until the Lord returns rather than until the day we die, right? Because I believe many, hopefully, if not all of us, will be raptured. Nice, isn't it? Because I don't want to conduct any vigil service for any one of you. So rapture is the best, right? Agree? Uh-huh. So until the Lord returns, right? That's what the Paul says, right? The Lord is at hand. So why procrastinate? Do you want to meet Him with a very, very what? Unhappy, pride-filled spirit? Go to that person and do whatever it takes to protect the oneness so that the joy in the Lord, in your heart, will return. So stand fast in the inner man. Conduct yourself in moderation. And finally, stand fast in trust. Commit all your problems to the Lord in prayer. Verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing,
But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to Him. Whatever the burden, whatever the fear, whatever the trepidation, whatever the difficulty, talk to Him. Remember to do so with thanksgiving, knowing that all that you go through have been permitted by God for your spiritual well-being, for the strengthening and the deepening of your faith. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, that it shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Trust. Trust in Him. That whatever you have to endure and go through in life, your Heavenly Father has permitted it, whether it is an illness, or whether it is a difficult person who seems to pick on you, or the loss of a job that is not of your own doing, whatever it is, just go to the Lord and present it to the Lord. Stand fast in your trust in Him, that He knows what is best for you. Sometimes you don't even know what is best for yourself. Sometimes we are so carnal, and we don't even know it, because the carnality so gradually, little by little, crept into our heart. That's how it works, isn't it? Isn't that how you boil and cook a frog? Put the frog inside normal temperature water, and then increase it little by little. Then the frog will keep on adjusting the body to the temperature of the water, and then one day, one moment, you put the frog that is alive in hot boiling water, boom, you jump out, right? So, how to cook a live frog? Put it inside the room temperature water that is comparable to his body, and then increase it little by little, and that's how the devil cooks us. You started your work spiritual, little by little, with the financial burden at home, with all the voices and the words of men, all these financial planners, they started to talk to you, and little by little, you become more and more involved in the world, and less at home, and less in the church, and then before you know it, you're already in the world, extremely carnal. The devil has cooked you. That's why stand fast in your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in mammon. Don't trust in anything or anyone outside of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Scripture. Not even your own pastor. You know that, right? We are all fallible men. You follow me only as I follow Christ. You don't trust in me. You trust in your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your relationship as a Christian must be with Christ and Christ alone. Don't forget that. I'm not your God. I'm not your Savior. I didn't die for you at Calvary. Please know this. When I was called into full-time ministry, I never had any one of you in mind. I don't even know you. You don't even know me. Right? My relationship as a Christian has to be in Christ. My trust in Christ must be non-negotiable. And it must always be in Him and Him alone. Because I know that everyone will fail me. It's only a matter of time and frequency. But my Savior, He will never fail me. And whatever I bring before His throne of grace and mercies, I commit all of them. My burden, everything, commit to Him in prayer. That's why I pray without ceasing, with a thankful heart. And then He will protect your heart and your mind, and the peace of God will keep you safe in your heart. Jesus ended His wonderful treatise in John chapter 14, 15 and 16 after He told them, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. The 3 years that you have been experiencing great peace and tranquility with my physical presence is coming to an end. And they were so troubled that the Lord Jesus Christ gave those amazing three chapters of John 14, 15 and 16, beginning with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Remember? And how did He conclude? Before He began His John chapter 17, verse 1, the high priestly prayer, where He will start to pray before the Lord for Himself, for the disciples, and for all the future disciples that will include us. In me, He says, you will experience peace. But in the world, you're going to be experiencing tribulation. But don't worry. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. tribulation. He sent us forth as sheep among wolves. And therefore, we need the peace of God to keep us, our heart and our mind, so that we can continue to trust Him, no matter what our external circumstances might be, no matter how adverse, no matter how challenging, no matter how difficult, no matter how even the people that are closest to my life will desert me. I will never stop trusting in my Lord, because I know He will never, never fail me nor desert me. Will you stand fast in oneness, in the inner man, and in trust in your Savior, no matter what? And don't let anything or anyone move you. Would you? So that when you begin your race on the day of your salvation until the day when the Lord returns, you will finish it and cross the finishing line in victory. To do that, you need to stand fast every phase, every moment of your life, and remember the people that the devil can use to move you from standing fast, resulting in disobedience to the Lord, are the people closest to you on earth. That's why the devil chose, out of everyone in Jesus' life, the Apostle Peter, telling Jesus Christ, don't go to the cross. Remember, you know the reply, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter loved the Lord and the Lord loved him. He was the head apostle. He will be the one in charge of the founding of the church witness. And his love for the Savior prompted him to say to Christ, don't go to the cross, we love you. We cannot bear to lose you. But Jesus just told them, I'm here to do the Father's will. The Father's will is for me to leave all of you and to go to the cross, to suffer and to die for you. Don't go. You know how difficult it must have been? If he had been a total stranger, someone just unknown to Christ, not someone who had slept with Christ, watched Christ in every way, a close disciple, a believer, used by the evil one on the final moment of Christ's mission on earth. Don't go. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's how we too can be moved from standing fast in the Lord, the people closest to us, and they could even be believers, like Peter. Beware, be warned, so that you can be steadfast in the Lord all the days of your life. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to realize how important it is for us to love Thee with all our heart, soul, strength and mind, in order for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because if we do not love Thee with all our heart, soul, strength and mind, it's only a matter of time, O Lord, where our love for someone else or something else will move us and push us away from standing fast in the Lord, in our holy witness and testimony for Thee in these last days. Help us, O Lord, to be wary of our own heart and our own lives and our own weaknesses, that the people that we love the dearest on earth can very well be the people that may push or pull us away from standing fast in the Lord, in our own homes and in Thy church. Help us therefore, O Lord, to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished for us at Calvary. And may our love and our loyalty be to our Savior, be complete and be absolute. That we love one another always in God's truth, and because of our love for our Savior, helping us to love one another correctly. That the oneness in this church and the inner man in all who are your children and the trust that they have in our Savior will remain strong for Jesus' sake. Defend and preserve Thy people in truth, BP Church. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.